So today we'll do something on Gaur Purnima, and we'll resume the Brihat Bhagavatamrita the following week. Om Jnanasmanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Pradamayam Sadati Sapadam Sitam Namo Maha Vanantyaya Krishna Prema Sadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Sute Namaha Pancha Kalpa Sarubhyascha Sita Shundu Vaidhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from New York. So I thought today for Gaur Purnima, I'll begin to just tell one story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next Saturday, I'll also probably elaborate more on this story when I speak at both Kishore's and Kishore Radha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 520 years ago, and of course Krishna appeared 1,000 years ago, but it's a little bit more difficult to trace that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more contemporary, 500 years ago, and it's historical. I mean, even modern history, while they would, a historical frame of reference, while they would have a difficult time establishing historically Krishna, everyone accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu historically. Maybe some of the details or facts of his life, but it's a pretty amazing thing because the basic framework that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, that he brought to spiritual life some of the most powerful men in India at that time, the home minister and the chief minister, the son of one of the wealthiest men in all of India, Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the greatest scholars recognized in India, Sri Jiva Goswami. Of course, he's the nephew of Sri Rupa and Sanatan, the son of the chief priest of the temple in Trivandrum, one of the most powerful seats of Hindu worship. So, and Ramananda Roy, the governor of one state, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one of the greatest logicians who had went to Mithila Dish and they were keeping this logical system, and the Navanyaya, the new Nyaya, he memorized. He was also the head of the temple in Tirupati, Kasi Mishra, King Pratapaluja. These are all historical personalities. And then brought them to Puri, many of them. He brought them to Puri, and lived the last part of his life. So I thought an interesting pastime to discuss, and from that discuss with the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is when he took sannyas, because that was exactly 500 years ago, and this is his centennial. Not centennial, this is his 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, which is a significant demarcation in his life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays in this world, manifested pastimes, 48 years. 24 of those years are Adi Lila, beginning pastimes, and 24, the last 24, are Sesha Lila, the end pastimes. And that Sesha Lila, the end pastimes, it has two divisions. The first 6 years, approximately, is Madhya Lila. He distributes, mostly in South India, Krishna consciousness, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhagato Mati, the mindset of welling with emotion of one's perfected love and his relationship with Krishna, the Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality, the full personality of Godhead. So he distributes that for 6 years, and then for 18 years, he settles down in Puri to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is such a nice example for us, because it's the position of God trying to become his devotee. So it's an acharya lila. It's an example for us, because we're not God trying to become devotees, but we're devotees trying to become devotees. So he sets the example. And this may be the greatest contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sets the example of how you attain the highest consciousness, how you attain the position of devotee. Dale knows this from how many times I've quoted it as my favorite statement, practically, in Prabhupada's book, in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada says the perfected state of a living entity is called a devotee. The perfected state means original state, just like perfected water is water where nothing is added. So the original state is to become a devotee, which is the position of being a receptacle for God's own potency of love. Reading in Madhurya Kandambini that God has a Sarup Ananda. He has a pleasure within himself. Then he has a Bhakti Ananda, pleasure of devotion, which must be placed outside of himself, because devotion must come from another. So he has a pleasure himself within his own nature. And then he has a pleasure which is part of his internal potency, which to experience must be placed outside of himself in the heart of the devotee. And that's the purpose of devotees, is to give God pleasure by being a receptacle of God's own potency that he must place outside of himself. And that pleasure gives God more pleasure than his own nature. Of course, that's also part of his own nature. But he can't enjoy it independent of the heart of the devotee. And that pleasure is also more... The pleasure experienced from being a receptacle of that potency is more pleasure than God receives being a object of that love. So the whole pastime of Gaur Lila is the Supreme Lord taking the position of his own devotee to achieve the highest pleasure. Which devotee? The topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, when? At the height of her pleasure. And therefore, we see in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Krishna, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is trying to get this pleasure that the devotee has and the pleasure that Radharani has, at the height of his pleasure, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meditating on that pleasure. And that's the method of getting that pleasure. You have to meditate on the devotee experiencing that pleasure. And that creates an aspiration in the heart for that pleasure, which then becomes that mood itself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meditating. We see in Antalila, if you look at the pastimes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meditates on, he's meditating on the pastime of Kurukshetra, where Srimati Radharani meets Krishna after 96 years, and she's feeling separation from Krishna because Krishna is not within, not in Vrindavan. And so her separation in union is so meditates on when Krishna left the Rasa dance, meditates on the pastime of Akrura taking Krishna from Mathura. And the sentiments that Srimati Radharani is feeling, the sentiments that Srimati Radharani is feeling when Krishna is there and she knows he is leaving, the sentiments that Radharani feels when those chariot wheels are rumbling and Krishna is leaving, and the sentiment of deep separation and love that Srimati Radharani is feeling when Krishna has already left. So this is the height of Radharani's sentiment. It's the height of her devotion. So, one second, I got it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God seeking to relish the position, the happiness, and love of the topmost devotee. So it's very significant that initially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's born in Navadvip, he's a beautiful child, he becomes a great scholar. We know the story that he was such a great scholar that he defeated Keshava Kashmiri, who was the acharya of the Nimbark Sampradaya. He was considered the big Vijay. Big means direction. Big Vijay. He was able to conquer all the directions in philosophy and logic. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Shruti Dara, having the ability to remember something upon hearing it once. I was speaking to Satyanarayan Babaji, my friend, and he was telling me that there are still people in South India that are Shruti Dara, that remember things completely, just once. There's incredible karmic karma that people have. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just one of his transcendental qualities. He's able to defeat Keshava Kashmiri. But he did not exhibit the symptoms of great devotion, because the lila or pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God trying to experience that, meaning that the ontological position of God is that he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it as when he's just the object of love. To actually experience that great pleasure of devotion, love of Godhead is in the heart of the devotee. So the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that God has to get that love. And therefore, the Leela and pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a nice example for us, because what his life, mission and objective, is the same as our life, mission and objective. Because our life, his life, mission and objective is that he, to perfect his existence, he has to develop his eternal relationship with Krishna. And to perfect our existence, we have to develop our eternal relationship with Krishna. So the objective is the same. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, besides his leelas and pastimes that demonstrate to us and attract us to the Supreme Lord by the manifestation of Odharya or magnanimity in full, the merciful manifestation of God in full, besides appearing to attract us to the full manifestation of God, Swayam Bhagavan, in a mood that is so relevant and so relishable to us, which is magnanimity or mercy. Is when your conditioned soul and suffering, kindness or mercy is the most attractive quality in another person. So besides the leela and pastimes of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has, I just got to get one thing up here, has an acharya leela, where he's, just one second, I'll be right with you. Oh, I got it here. So it's very, very significant, his pastime, because he doesn't have that love of Godhead until he meets his guru. And after his father dies, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Gaya, where he is obliged to perform pinda for the sraddha ceremony of his father. He meets Ishvara Puri, his guru. And when he meets Ishvara Puri and he gets initiated, then the process of initiation is a transference of a bhav or a sentiment. That's how Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha defines initiation or link with a bona fide teacher in a bona fide line. Then what happens is you get sambandha vishesh again. You get a particular jnana. It just doesn't mean knowledge. It means a consciousness, sambandha vishesh, of a particular sentiment. This happens to people who come to the Krishna consciousness movement to some degree or another. Before that connection, there's no sentiment of relationship or devotion to Krishna. Where did we get some sentiment of, we have that sentiment. To one degree or another, people connected with the Krishna consciousness movement have some Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavatomati. They have some mindset of mood of a relationship with Krishna. It may start off general, it may become more specific, but you get that. You get that. And in a highly qualified person who really gets initiated, when you really accept Krishna as your Lord and you give yourself fully to God, then God accepts the soul as his own self. And when God accepts the self as his own self, then that's the real initiation. And then there's a full transfer above. So someone like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that level of qualification, meeting a guru like Ishvara Puri, when he decides that I will give myself at the lotus feet of Sri Ishvara Puri and becomes inspired to give his life fully, then the full bhav comes to the highest level. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes completely transformed. Because bhav is an emotion. And when it's very, very powerful, you act on that emotion. You're not filtering things through the intelligence. That's what rag means. Rag means that you're acting by your attachment. And when the attachment is very, very strong, then there's no inhibition. There's no attachment. There's no inhibition. One dedicates himself fully to the holy name. In fact, that's what Ishvara Puri told Lord Chaitanya. Because after Lord Chaitanya got initiated, he began to cry. His emotions were like very, very powerful. He could not control himself. He thought that maybe there was something wrong with him, because the actions of one controlled by Baba may not always line up with social mores. So he was so filled with ecstasy, he went to his guru, and he asked them, "Is there something wrong with me?" And his guru told him, "No, that this is the symptom of prema bhakti. The symptom of prema bhakti is without any inhibition, without any attachment, one chants the names of one's beloved Lord." And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes back to Navadvip from Gaya, which is in Bihar. It's the next next state over. He goes back to his home, and the emotion comes out, because this is the nature of very, very strong emotion, especially when you're experiencing your relationship with Krishna, and your personality, your internal makeup, is not what they call the volcano in the ocean mindset, where powerful emotions don't appear. But his emotions were just overflowing with devotion. And he was just crying and weeping in that mood now of Srimati Radharani, which is the nature that came from his guru. And he's overwhelmed with that. He's just constantly calling out in pain and weeping and crying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And it's a conflict for him, because he's still a teacher, and a teacher has to be somewhat sober for the student. The teacher has to be somewhat sober for the student. But instead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to the classroom, and he's in the ecstasy of the gopis. And he's just chanting, his japa mala, his chanting is just gopi, gopi, gopi. And he's chanting this in ecstasy, and then his students see him. And the student kind of just comes over and objects. Of course, in India, I mean, that type of culture, you got to be really, really careful to correct your teacher. Even out of etiquette, you have to be really careful. But somehow the student becomes so concerned that he criticizes Lord Chaitanya. He says, why are you chanting this gopi, gopi, gopi? And in fact, the Lord's in so much ecstasy that he's not only, he's so much in the mood of the gopis that when the student says, why are you chanting gopi, gopi, gopi instead of Krishna, then Chaitanya says, why should I chant Krishna? And then he begins to, in the mood of the gopis, criticize Krishna in all his incarnations, for all the things Krishna did, like cut off the nose of Supanika in the Ram incarnation, and be a thief, lie in the Vamana incarnation, and steal butter in the Krishna incarnation. So then in his ecstasy of the gopis, then Chaitanya even criticizes Krishna, and he's in such an emotional state that he attacks the student. So then the student goes back, tells the other students, and there's a student protest, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he becomes a little bit depressed. And then he just starts saying this very mysterious statement that no one can understand. He says, I have brought this medicine to decrease people's fever, but the medicine I give has the opposite effect. It only increases people's fever. So people are like around, like, his friends are around him, and they're kind of puzzled. Why is he saying this? What does this mean? He says, I've given this Pipalati medicine. It's supposed to increase mucus and bile, but now the medicine is just increasing it. And then Lord Chaitanya starts to laugh. But Nikai, his brother, who is Akanda, eternal guru Tatsa, is never even bewildered by yoga maya practically. He understands what this means. That Lord Chaitanya is aware that he has two reasons for his defect. And the external reason, yes. And I don't look at the external reason as like this cheap thing that you just wish off with your hands. Which one time I gave a class in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And at a time, maybe not at my height of political power. And I talked about the external reason as being preaching. Wow. I thought there'd be a posse. But the external reason, it just means, I look at the external reason as what you do for others. The internal reason is what you do for yourself. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, it's the perfect example for us. He has two missions. To taste Krishna consciousness at the highest level, and to distribute that feeling to the widest extent. Very important. Compassion is based on one's personal experience. Because if you're not experiencing Krishna consciousness, then how will you feel for people who lack it? But if your mindset is and your desire is that, no, I mean, you may have theoretical understanding, but if your desire is and your mood is and desires are that some material pleasure is the highest thing to experience, you think sex life is the highest thing to experience, then you'll feel compassion for people who are, you know, not partying. If you think that wealth is the highest thing, then you'll feel compassion for people who are bereft of that. But if you actually taste Krishna consciousness, then your compassion is for people who are lacking that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realizes that I haven't balanced my ecstasy, my internal desires, with my external desires, because in my ecstasies now, I am turning people away from Krishna consciousness, and that was my mission. And that was why he's saying it, the disease is material life, and I've come to bring people out of material life. But now what's happening is people are disrespecting me and they're ruining their spiritual life. So the opposite is happening. The medicine is having the opposite effect. And therefore, Nityananda understood, therefore he's going to take sannyas. And why? People respect sannyasis, especially in that thing, and therefore, as they are criticizing him now, if he changes his social order, people will respect him, and it will be. In other words, it's not an all in all that you change your cloth, you change your social situation, and you're respected. But for that external reason of his descent, to distribute spiritual life, which requires that people have faith, it will facilitate it. If you think that just by doing that people have faith, that's not a fact, but it will be a facility for people's faith. Because in Indian culture, people respect the position and order. Acharya mam vijanayam navamanyet dakahi chit. You should accept the acharya or teacher as one's very self. And that's Jiva Goswami, very clear. That's not just the guru. There's another verse after that that refers to the guru. That refers to anyone who represents God, whether it's the parent, whether it's the teacher, whether it's the head of government. And Krishna's order, navamanyet, that you should not envy him in any way. There's such a tendency that means to envy authority. In a proper culture, these people are revered and respected. I remember one time in Vrindavan, it was when Indian brahmachari came, and he used to go to school in the Ramakrishna mission when he was young in Bengal. So you know how we're trained about the Ramakrishna mission. So when his teacher came, Mayavadi Sannyasi, he pays full dandavat, respecting, this was his teacher. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows that people respect the order, and for his internal for the external, for distributing, and so by saying this, Lord Nityananda understands that he'll take sannyas. Of course, sannyas can also be a facility for the internal development of Krishna consciousness. See, when someone takes sannyas, what it should be is complete renunciation. And in Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the exemplars for complete renunciation are the gopis. that they gave up everything for Krishna. And therefore, when someone takes sannyas, he gets another mantra to chant along with his guru, Gaur, and Kam Gayatris. He gets the Gopi Bhav mantra because, so anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's take is it's 24 years old. It's for him, he's living 48. It's his middle of his life. And he's going to take sannyas. Only Lord Nityananda, he understands this. Lord Chaitanya looks at Nityananda and sees that Nityananda is like, hears this. And he understands immediately Lord Chaitanya is leaving home. And they understand in those days when someone takes sannyas, they not only never go home, but you may never see them again. Like when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, when Lord Chaitanya's brother took sannyas, Vishwarup, his parents never saw him again. When Lord Nityananda left with that sannyasi, Shankaranya, who came to his village in Radhadesh and begged Hadayo Chai, Lord Chaitanya's father, for his son, his son was devastated. His father was devastated because he may never see him again. So Nityananda understands this. Lord Chaitanya sees this. He gently takes Lord Nityananda's hand and he takes him to a solitary place and tells him that, yes, this is the reason that to distribute Krishna consciousness, right now people are disrespecting me. When I take sannyas, people naturally respect me, and it would be a great facility for this mission, and I feel this is my life's mission I have to do. The Nityananda is brokenhearted. His heart is torn to shreds. He's seeing that Lord Chaitanya may leave, and he says, you can do what you want, but you consult others. So Lord Chaitanya goes to see the devotees, and he's going to inform the devotees that he's taking sannyas, but he's not going to inform them when. That's going to be a surprise. So he informs, he sees Mukunda. Mukunda, one of his close friends, and he sees Mukunda. And when he sees Mukunda, he tells Mukunda, you just sing kirtan. Because this is what the Sangha of Lord Chaitanya means. When he came back from Gaya, and when he was in this great ecstasy of devotion from his guru, then naturally kirtan begins, because kirtan is the main expression of devotion. When you have affection for someone, the main symptom of that affection is that you glorify that person. And the highest symptom is you not only glorify the person, but it comes to the heart, manifests in rag, it manifests in music. That's why most of the music and dance of classical India is connected with Radha and Krishna, because the heart, the rag, the deep attachment, it has to be expressed. Emotions have to be expressed for many reasons. For one reason, emotions have to be expressed is to increase those emotions. when you have an emotion, you want to increase that emotion. When you have love, naturally you want that love to increase, then you express it. It's expressed in song. It's expressed. So kirtan is actually a natural expression of love. That's why one of the main activities in the spiritual world, if you read the Bhagavatam, is the devotees are always doing kirtan. And that's why one of the main ways in which you achieve the sentiments, the highest sentiments of devotion, is to do kirtan, because you, anuga, rag anuga, you follow the rag. And by following the rag, you get the rag. So you follow the activities of those whom you emulate. You emulate the activities of those whose devotion and sentiment and mood you want. So what are the activities of the residents of Vrindavan? Well, one of the main activities is their glorifying Krishna. So kirtan is the main activity of Raghanuga Bhakti, because it's an accessible way to follow both the residents of Vrindavan and the residents of Navadvip. It's an appropriate, accessible way that you can follow, and at the same time that you're following, it's an expression of your own fledgling devotion that increases it. So both in perfection and practice, kirtan is the main activity in the path of bhakti. This path of bhakti is to nourish sentiment of devotion, and devotion is most appropriately nourished in poetry, in and song, and kirtan. Lila kirtan is poetry and song. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. He was aspiring. Let me have the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. And he would hear poetry and song. He would hear poetics. He would hear dramas. He would hear the Bhagavatam and the expressions of love in the Bhagavatam. He would hear kirtans. And he himself would be acting with eagerness and devotion. So this is the Vaishnav spiritual society, which creates so much bliss. It says, Machitama Katachana Bodhiyantas Parasparam. What is it? Maybe another verse. What? Yeah, what's that one? What's the... Katiyatas Param Nityam. They get satisfaction, they get bliss, devotees. So naturally, he goes to see the devotees and he asks Mukunda, sing kirtan. So Mukunda is like singing kirtan in bliss with Lord Chaitanya, because that's the society. And then he says, I'm going. And Mukunda is devastated. Then he goes to Gadadhar. And Gadadhar, he's motionless. He's just in a state of shock because Chaitanya is leaving. Now, this is interesting, too, because this Sannyas Leela, who is a Krura in Gaur Leela, Keshava Bharti. Keshava Bharti is a Krura. Because Akura is taking Krishna from Vrindavan, excuse, not Matsu, he's taking two Matsu at Vrindavan. And Keshava Bharti, in one sense, is taking Krishna in the form of Chaitanya from Navadvip, if he's going to give him sannyas. So Gadadhar is the... Funny, he's telling Mukunda and Gadadhar, who are both friends of his from childhood. So these are his closest friends from childhood. Of course, Gadadhar is Radharani in Gaurabila. So there's also such separation. And then Gadadhar, he has an interview questions that simply by taking sannyas, how do you think of shaving your head? How do you think? You think that's the way you get Krishna's mercy? That's not Bhagavad Gita. Where bhakti is not renunciation, bhakti is dedication. And why are you giving up all your friends who are doing kirtan together? And how can you leave your mother? And without you, we'll have no life. No life. Because that's devotion. When you love someone, then they become your life. Without them. So this is also nice, because what you see here is Gaur Leela is Krishna Leela. And Krishna Leela, I think Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, and Gaur Leela is Krishna Leela, and Krishna Leela is Gaur Leela. Because what's the Leela? The Leela is the play of God to relish sentiments of devotion. So the same sentiments in Krishna Leela, the same sentiments are in Gaur Leela. It's just the form of the Leela is different. And the form of Gaur Leela is a form in which we can participate in. Because the kirtan in Krishna Leela is heightened in the Ras Leela. What is the Ras Leela? The Ras Leela is above a particular sentiment of devotion that Krishna and devotees are relishing together to the highest degree, and for that to be to reach its apex, its height, then dancing is there, and song is there, music, and Ras Leela and Gaur Leela is the nocturnal kirtans in Sri Vasangam. It's the same exact thing, because the devotees are joining together to relish this topmost sentiment. And to do that, the appropriate music and dance is necessary to express that emotion, bring it out in the heart, share it with others, and then bring it to the highest degree. But Gaur Leela, it's done in a way where we can actually emulate it. We can actually do the same thing. We can actually have the same external form to nourish the internal mood. So anyway, the devotees were enjoying so much because they were meeting every evening in Sri Vasangam, and the kirtans would go through the night. I'm writing a paper, Why Kirtan Gives the Most Bliss. And one of my theories, which will be supported by Shastra, is that shared bliss is higher than individual bliss, the shared sentiment of bliss. So they were sharing the same, in other words, everyone was experiencing the same thing. You can imagine being in the kirtan And that's why they didn't want any outsider in. That's why when someone was in a different mood, the bliss could not hide, and they would feel it. Because kirtan is without any inhibition. It's giving your heart fully. And when everyone's in the same mood, everyone experiences the same thing. That's why it's such a powerful thing, because if you're in a kirtan with very advanced Vaishnavas, then somehow or other, you're able to experience something very wonderful, a share type thing. And that's why it's so powerful in distributing Krishna consciousness in one sense, because if people are non-envious and they open their hearts to a certain degree, in the kirtan, there's a commonality of experience, not exactly. So the devotees were enjoying this with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now he's leaving, and they become devastated. They give up eating and sleeping, because when you become depressed, when there's something really lacking in you, you're feeling emotionally some lack or some pain, then eating and sleeping and you can't do that. But the Lord pacifies them in a way. And he says, we're eternal associates. I cannot leave you for a moment. He gives them a little kind of philosophy, tries to bring them to some point of understanding, even though their hearts. And then he satisfies them, and he says, actually, in this age, I'm still directly, this is such a great instruction, I'm still directly manifest in two ways. I'm manifest in praying kirtan, and I'm manifest in gorgeous worship of the deities. And actually, on the path of Rag Marg, when you're aspiring for the sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan, the two main ways that, the two main practices is kirtan of the names of your beloved Lord, the Radha Krishna Yugala Mantra, and the worship of the deities, the worship of the Radha Krishna deities. He also is going to tell that to his mother. He tells his mother, so this is the instruction, that actually the Lord is manifest. And then he personally embraces each of the devotees. Then Sachi finds out, and she falls unconscious, her heart stops. And she implores him, naturally, out of affection, that my eldest son Vishwaroop has already left. My husband has left. And you come to teach religion? What religion tells one to leave their mother? What? The mother is glorified among above everything else. Even Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he goes back to his mother for permission. The mother is glorified much more than the father. The father gives the seed, but the mother gives the whole body. And you come to preach Dharma. And what kind of Dharma is this? Leave your mother. I'll repeat the story, but it's so funny. It's like 74, I was already a devotee for 4 years of sorts, but not in the ashram yet. Visit the Ratiyatra in San Francisco in 1974. Go to the morning program. Ridayananda Maharaj is giving class. And at that time, he was so devotionally passionate, like a lion. his preaching is so heavy, and he's sitting, and he said, he is a genius in the sense that he comes up with newer and newer arguments. It's so funny, he said, the Bible, the highest principles in the Bible, honor thy mother and father, thou shalt not kill. But the Bhagavad Gita is so high that the first instruction Krishna gives to his, the first instruction that Krishna gives is kill your parents. So, anyway, Mother Sachi says, do not leave. Stay home with all your associates and do kirtan. Why leave? And then pacifies her. You've been my mother birth after birth, and you still have me. I'm definitely manifest in the deity, and I'm manifest in the holy name. And they don't know when he's leaving, so he's kind of pacifies them, but he tells five people that he's leaving. And he tells Chandrasekhar Acharya, which is his uncle. He tells Brahmananda Bharati, which is the godbrother of his guru. He tells Nityananda. And he tells Nityananda, you can tell five people. I think he says you can tell Mukunda, close friend, Gadadhar, and one other person. And then he tells him, I'm leaving. I'm actually going to leave the next day. So no one knows he's leaving. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing Sankirtan with all the devotees all day long. And the devotees are coming. They're garlanding him. He's sitting there. He's luster. He's so beautiful. And they garland him and they gaze at him as if with a single pair of eyes. This is shared bliss. They're all seeing the same thing. They're all relishing the same thing. They're all feeling the same mercy. And in such ecstasy, and Lord Chaitanya garlands every devotee that comes. And they don't know he's leaving. Little do they know this is the last time that you're going to see someone. You may have had that experience where it was the last time you saw someone, and then you look back at it and you kind of wish that you knew that that was the last time, and you perhaps wish you would have done something else. The devotees didn't know it was happening, and Lord Chaitanya tells them, instructs them, while eating, awake, sleeping, always chant and do not think of anything else but Krishna. So this is actually the process. Really, it's the process. Chanting all the time. That's the process. Just chanting and hearing all the time. You want prema, you do it. And it doesn't matter, while you're working, while you're sleeping, while you're waiting online, this is the process. By the way, I'm with Kasuta and Peter Kriyan, but just another thing, we were talking about that nice lady that came from New York. One other thing I did with them, I arranged kirtan with Srimati in her room. And it was really, really nice. It was a nice lady from New York. She came, and her friend. I try to show them the real Vrindavan. So, actually, before I was leaving, I got a call, actually, from Srimati that would be nice if she can see me before I left. And she always gives gifts. So she gave me this song, something about Haridas Thakur and the Ten Offenses. They're very important for devotion. She promised me this before. And then she gave me the leaves under the tree in which Prabhupada was born. So dried in a little plastic bag. So I went over there with Akinchana and Amala Krishna, Amala Purana, Apoorva's son, and then those two girls, and Carl. And I don't know if you've seen her room. I'm talking now personally, audience. Like by her bed, there's this picture that she has made of Lord Chaitanya, her mood. You know, she supervised the artist, like full. And beautiful Lord Chaitanya thinking of Radha and Krishna in the background, walking through the forest or something. And then there's a little platform below the pictures, and there's these little teak wood not like half-inch border, like pots, but elongated. And they're each filled with Govardhan shilas, because she only wants to sleep by the side of Govardhan Hill. So she, you know, I mean, the whole place is just like pictures galore, and everything's so fine. And so we just went in there, and we just did kirtan for 1 hour. Just Madanga, kartals, sweet chanting. And Akinchan is really good, and he sometimes let them lead, and they put their heart into it. And it's really great, I mean. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya gives them that instruction. This is the main instruction. This is the essence of all advice. This is the teachings of Shaitanya. Tanama, Rupa, Charitadu, Sakirtanadu. Always chant. So this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction to his devotees. I will, any of you around on next Saturday, I'll probably finish the story at Gopa and Kishori have a program on Saturday. I just, anyway, I'll make the long story short. It's very moving. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves and Sachi's at the door. And Lord Chaitanya, all he can do is express his gratitude and take the dust of her feet. And just assures her, I will always take care of you, don't worry. That's it. Then he leaves. And Sachi stands there as a statue. She's motionless. And when the devotees arrive in the morning, they're expecting to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But instead of seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they see Sachi. And generally what happens, I know one person, this is a true story, where he became disenfranchised with one place he was staying. This is an Indian ashram. It belonged to a particular ashram. And they were all simple monks. And he was a Westerner living in that ashram. And, an old Vaishnava was dying. And then he saw that as soon as the Vaishnava died, all the other monks were running to the room to get his possessions. Whatever few books he had or anything. This guy was a Westerner. And he was also running. And then when he was running, he said, wait, what the hell am I doing? The guy just died. I'm running to get his possessions. And then he left. Because he thought, what kind of religion is this? What kind of religion is this that this is the result of the practice and your renunciation that an old Vaishnava dies, you're just waiting for the moment, and then all the monks are running to the room, so you get his books first. So Sachi, you would think that she's, now she takes over Lord Chaitanya's estate. And she looks at the devotees and she says, the Lord belongs to the devotees. So whatever possessions I have, they belong to you. And she's like, detach. And then all the devotees collapse and cry in delirium. Now we'll just end with one song. Here, this is it. Goranga Kaluna Koro Hina Hina Jane Goranga Kaluna Koro Hina Hina Jane Mosama Patita Pabu. I can't do it after I'm on you. Nahi Tribhuva. Oh, dear Goranga, please show your mercy to this lonely and destitute soul. Oh, Lord, there is no one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds. So, Goranga means the predominance of Odaya or magnanimity. In the Swayam Bhagavan, the full manifestation of God, where the heart is open to the maximum degree, but has different moods. And the two predominant moods of devotion are madhurya, a sense of intimacy with God, and odharya, a sense of compassion for others. So Goranga is when the sense of compassion for others is manifest, and therefore Goranga is a very relevant for us manifestation of Swayam Bhagavan. Santi tina dori gora taki etomara kripa kori eshwama jidayamandira. I can't do it without. Anyway. Holding grass between my teeth, O Lord Gora, and calling out to you now, please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my heart. If you do not give your mercy, seeing how fallen I am, then why are you known as Petit Pavana, the merciful savior of the fallen? I am plunged amidst the violent, hurricane-stricken waves, the ocean of this material world from which there is no escape. Please give me the gift of your divine lotus feet, which are compared to a boat, which your servant may cross over the ocean of birth and death. Narottam Das, the servant of Chaitanya, ceaselessly makes this prayer. Okay, anybody like to ask any question? Okay, anybody like to say Hare Krishna, say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, okay, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I actually wanted to just hear a little bit more about the fact that when a person gets initiated, according to my understanding, the sentiment that he experienced for Krishna is like proportional to his level of detachment from material enjoyment, and that the mystical event, you know, that
I don't think it's somehow my earphone is broken on one side, so I can't hear so well. Thank you. You can hear me. There's a verse, I forgot the verse, what diksha means, it's in the CC, that one gives himself to God and then God accepts oneself fully. So the real initiation is the commitment. And the deeper the commitment, the deeper the faith, the more one experiences what's given in the Guru Parampara. But what is given is sambandha vishesh jnan, specific knowledge of one's relationship with God, and Bhagavad Sarup Gyan, the knowledge of the Lord that one worships. So this is given, and it's given at least in a seed form. And then by practicing Krishna consciousness and cultivating that relationship, that seed, what happens to the seed? A seed, initially, you know, there's a plant in there, but you don't know what the plant is. And then may it be sprout. It may still look like something else. But as it grows more and more, its fruits come and distinguish it from other plants. So that's basically what happens. If there's a legitimate connection to Guru Parampara, by that surrender and commitment, then that seed is planted. And it's not just the formality, but it's the relationship that one has and the commitment one has. And then that nurtures and then that grows.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello?
Did you give a class this morning someplace?
No.
Oh,
no,
yes.
How can I give a class? No. I'm just saying, I'm in the apartment of Kasturba and Deepa Priya. That's all. Mm-hmm. I would not give a class without informing you, Gail. Are you kidding me?
That's my hope.
No, I would never do that. You would be the first thing to know.
Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my hello.
One at a time? Who?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my hello, obeisances. This is Nanda Dulal.
Hare Krishna, Nanda Dulal. There you go. Very nice. Very nice to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello? Someone else said it was at the same time.
I just wanted to say thanks for a great class. It's Mooney.
Okay. Yeah, Mooney, I got your call late. Maybe I'll touch base right after this.
That'd be great. There were some things that came up that I thought of asking, but they were kind of off topic and it would be distracting.
Okay,
so
we'll talk about that some other time.
Great. Thanks so much. Okay. Thanks so much.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Shastra.
Shastra. Hare Krishna.
Hi.
We also should touch base. See how you landed from your ecstatic, inconceivable experience of 1 month in the holy dhams practicing Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay. Hi, Lo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Jai Nitai here.
Hi, Bhav, Jai Nitai.
I'm both Bhikkhustubha and Gita Priya.
Jai Nitai offering the respect. Kasturba is just profusely offering respects. Thank you.
And, you know, I had a quick question, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Just you had said that the sannyasi that took Nityananda was Sankaranya, and I thought there's some controversy about that.
There is The answer is that there's a controversy.
Okay.
Some people argued that it was the person who had given Lord Chaitanya from Govardhan this Sheila, but some say yes, some say no. It's a fact. I don't think the controversy is resolved. I don't have off the bat, if you can remember what Prabhupada said about it, or if he said anything about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Henry.
Henry. Great. I also need to touch base with you soon. I'll call you this week. Great.
I'm so happy to hear you're in America.
Great. I was with Carl and Stella there in Vrindavan. Of course, we thought of you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Thank you all. Have a nice Gaur Purnima. Panchakalpa Karubhya Sakapasandhu Vedasapati Nampavayam.